York City, connected with the world. Here's Tom Sullivan.
Well, here we are. Welcome to the Big Radio Show. Happy Monday to you on this September 17th, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan, and well, wasn't the 17th, but it was the 15th of September, 2008, when Wall Street just collapsed onto itself. And so 10-year anniversary of the meltdown on Wall Street, and I remember it so well. It was so I don't know how you feel about Wall Street 10 years later, but that was all about the fact that the absolute Wall Street major banks, Lehman Brothers filed for bankruptcy. They were 158 years old, and they had gone out on a limb, and they collapsed under their own weight. And then the stock market suffered one of its worst days in many, many years. And Merrill Lynch feared that it could be the next to go under. So the feds came together. The Treasury Department, Hank Paulson, the Treasury Secretary, pulled Bank of America in and said, "You're buying Merrill Lynch." And Merrill Lynch became part of Bank of America, and the rest is history. And then they had American International Group, AIG, one of the biggest insurance companies in the world, and they had invested in a lot of these risky investments that Wall Street had created, and they needed to be bailed out by the taxpayer to the tune of $85 billion. So this started 10 years ago today, started the whole process about bailing out the banks. And TARP was invented, the Troubled Asset Relief Program, and they brought it to Congress in a hurry, 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 and Congress took a look at it, and in a very fast, the financial world was collapsing, and they knew it. And so they did not dilly-dally around. They jumped on it. They took it up for a vote, and it failed. And I remember the markets were going down 600, 700, 800, 900 points on the fact that this TARP program, the bailing out of the banks, failed. So they dusted it off, put a bunch of the Wall Street bankers and Hank Paulson and a bunch of the Treasury people together, and they created TARP 2, and they voted on it a couple of days later, and it passed. And that was to provide $700 billion worth of taxpayer money to the major financial institutions in our country. A number of them were not banks, so they quickly became banks overnight. Morgan Stanley was not a bank. Now it was within days. There was a bunch of them like that. It was the most unsettling time, because I always thought, well, I'm pretty careful with my money, and I have it diversified, and I don't have it all in one place, and on and on and on. But then I realized that where I had it, some major, major banks, some major investment firms, and I was sitting there one day going, I don't know if they're going to survive. I don't know if my money, which I thought I was being so safe with, was safe at all. I was questioning whether or not the money I had in big name banks was going to just disappear. It was an incredible time. So for a lot of you, you remember September 15th, 2018. It's been 10 years. The market tanked from September of 2008 until it got down to, it was around 14,000 if I remember right. It got down to 6,000. It lost more than half of its value. It was March of 2009. So it was only about 6-7 months. but the market was going down and down and down, and not in tens and twenties. I mean big, big, big drops. In March of 2009, it recovered. But meantime, we set a precedence. We set a precedence about risks and about the fact that if you take a risk and you're too big to fail, don't worry, the government will come along with taxpayer money and bail you out. So today, 10 years later, I don't know if you feel that our financial system is any better than it was then. I mean, before the collapse on September 15th. But nobody seemed to be worried about it at the time. Everybody seemed to be happy. The market was doing fine. And then it wasn't. And down she went. So the $700 billion, not all of it was actually dispersed. If I remember right, it was $400 and some billion dollars that was actually dispersed out to banks and financial institutions, insurance companies, and so forth, brokerage firms. And with that money, Congress thought that what they would do with that money was they would then, in order to keep the economy from completely collapsing, that they would lend the money out to individuals, to small businesses, to anybody and everybody who wanted it. There was plenty of money to be had, and you can just go into a bank, and they got all this new fresh taxpayer money, and they will make loans so that you can pay your employees, you can expand your business, you can make a get a home improvement loan to maybe add an extra bedroom or something. That was the theory. None of that happened. The lending completely dried up. The banks used the money to buy back a lot of their stock, and they invested it where they thought it was best for the bank. And everybody was screaming about it, but Congress never put any strings on it. They never said, this money is for you to lend out. This, they gave the money and said, here you go. Hope you don't collapse. Here's some, a whole bunch of money for you. So here we are, 10 years later. I don't know if the attitude of banks is any different today than it was then. There are fewer big banks today that control more of the money in this country than they did in 2008. So when you, I don't even know if you give it a second thought. I don't know if you give it a second thought about what is going on in the banking system, what is going on in the financial world. I don't know if you think that that was a one-off that will never happen again. I believe firmly that it will happen again. It won't be these circumstances. It will be a different set of circumstances that get us into that trouble. The last time it happened prior, in a big, big way, was during the Great Depression. So it had gone from 70 years. Nothing happened. So here we are 10 years later, and I don't know when or where or how or what will be the straw that breaks the camel's back, but something will happen and the financial world will tumble again. So then the question will come back around again. Now that the rules have been set, is don't worry, banks. We've got your back. We will bail you out so that the financial system doesn't collapse. That's now what we're going to do. And the Federal Reserve will lower interest rates and keep lowering them down to zero and keep them at zero for a long, long, long time in order to make it so that people can get through. So for those of you, I don't know what the lessons are that you learned from 2008. But one of the lessons that I learned, and I knew then, and I believe it with all my heart today, is the only people who got hurt were the people that sold at the bottom. As the market's going down and down and down, it scared them enough to where they sold. And now we've got a Dow up 24,000. And I mean, if you did not sell, you would be, you hopefully your market would be somewhere. It's 26,000 a day. 26,000 on the Dow would be where you wind up versus 6,000 where it was in 10 years ago. So it's gone from 6,000 to 26,000, 400%. I don't know. Do you think it'll happen again? Have you changed anything about the way you handle your money? Do you trust the banks? Now, Elizabeth Warren is already having major conniptions today about the fact that she thinks bankers should have gone to jail.
When CEOs break the law, they ought to go to jail just like anyone else. That's why I introduced a bill. It makes three fundamental changes. It will create a permanent investigative unit within the Treasury Department, a vice squad for Wall Street. It will require big bank executives to certify every year that they've looked and found no evidence of fraud or crimes at financial institutions. It will allow courts to oversee agreements that the Department of Justice makes with private companies and require judges to find that those agreements are in the public interest.
So what are you doing, what have you learned from 10 years ago? 855-295-6600. We'll be right back.
Connect and engage with Tom Sullivan. On air, online, on demand.
So we bailed out the banks, and they repaid all of the money with interest, so the government actually made some money on that. But the problem with it was they stopped lending. They just dried up the lending, and as a result, there were a lot of people who could not make it and went bankrupt. They lost their homes. They saw their credit damage, so they could never buy again. Some of them are just now getting around to buying. It is, you take a look at median household today is still below where it stood in 1998. And because of the fact that the banks weren't lending, a lot of builders were not building. And so we have a mortgage and a construction lending drought that lasted long after the recession was over. Home ownership rate did not stop going down until 2017. So it's been a rough 10 years. But you look out the window today and things look good. We've got corporate profits at record highs. We've got unemployment rate at a low we haven't seen in decades. Like I said, the Dow has quadrupled. So what is it? Are we good or are we on the danger of another collapse? The phone number is 855-295-6600. Paul in Reno, Nevada. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Doing good. What do you got?
Good. Hey, a few things, but you forgot about, you said nobody lost anything, but GM got bailed out. And
yep.
Not only did the stockholders get screwed, but the bondholders of that company, I mean, that should have been the safest part of investing in another company is having bonds.
Yeah, but I looked at my criticism was is that the government actually covered some of them. I truly believe in the investment world, but part of that is there is risk, and so when something goes wrong, you lose.
When you have bonds in the company, that's supposed to be the most secure part of investing. The company is owning those bonds. All the other creditors, all the stock owners, should have lost their money before
right.
the bondholders did.
Right, right.
Those are the people that had that money in their retirement account thinking, I have the safe investment here because I own bonds in a big company. and they lost it.
Right. No, you're right.
And then the U.S. government lost, I think it was $13 billion on GM.
I forget the number, but it was, yeah, it was large. It was in the billions, yes.
It was huge.
Yes. Because they turned around and they sold that stock for a lot less than what they poured into that company. So, yes, that's why they still call it Government Motors.
They still lost $13 billion, though.
Yeah.
But I think we're in for it again. I mean, corporate profits are up on paper, but corporate debt is higher than it's ever been. Consumer debt is at an all-time high.
Yep.
There's a lot of things that are just, and we printed five times the money we used to have. So a dollar is worth 20 cents. It just hasn't come home yet.
The problem is nobody sees this coming. People later, they say, oh, I warned you about those risky home loans that you were making. I warned you. Well, but they're back to doing those again, and they do the same thing. They've got subprime auto loans up the yin yang out there. I don't know.
You know, the same people are saying it's coming again, and they're ignoring them. There are people that go, we predicted the last one, and they're saying it again, and nobody's listening.
Well, I don't know because you never know where it's going to come from this time. It won't be the same. It won't be the same scenario. And when people wake up one day and see it all collapsing, then they'll go, oh, I should have seen that coming. But have you changed the way you handle your money in 10 years?
I have. You know, after the recession, I put money into the stock market because, you know, when it looked like it was the bottom, I actually bought Ford because they had done things to restructure, and they didn't borrow money.
Right.
And actually, they did really well. But I've taken a lot of stuff and moved it into cash accounts. You know, it's still in my brokerage account because of IRAs, and I can't take it out. But I moved it into basically cash.
Yeah. There's a lot of that going on. You're not alone. Apparently the amount of investments that people have in cash accounts is extremely high. So you're not alone, Paul. But I do appreciate your call, and your comments about General Motors are exactly right. What'd you learn from 10 years ago?
He likes it when you talk back, Tom Sullivan.
So, this past weekend, 10 years ago, I remember standing outside of Lehman Brothers. They're on 7th Avenue and 49th Street, and they had just filed for bankruptcy. And I will never forget the bankers coming out in their suits and ties and walking out of the building with their boxes of files, you know, their personal possessions that they had in their offices. And they had this look on their faces. These were highly paid Wall Street traders, executives, and their company had just collapsed, had failed. And they did not know what their future was. And Wall Street was collapsing. There was a guy that I interviewed I want to talk about in just a minute. Let me get Mark in here, who's been waiting patiently. Hello, Mark. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hi, Tom. Nice talk. Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment real quick on the banks from 10 years ago. Any other business didn't get that special treatment, and most of the loans that were out, those people's tickets would have been in their hands if the banks had gone belly up. What would you do if you didn't have to pay a mortgage with all the extra money, or your kids didn't have to pay a mortgage because the bank was irresponsible with its practices and business? How is that the taxpayer's responsibility?
Well, I there's two parts to what you're talking about. One of them is, if a company goes out of business that you owe money to, that doesn't mean you get to not pay it back. You still have to pay your loan back. But I never understood. I was totally against the bailout, the TARP bailout. I was so glad that they failed on that first vote. Wall Street collapsed because Wall Street knew that there were going to be some banks that were going to go out of business. But forgive me, I'm a purist on that. If your business fails, I'm sorry, that's life in the world of business. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. You know, wasn't I don't think we should have bailed them out. But now we have. So what's going to happen the next time? What do you think is going to happen? Same thing.
Same thing. My grandfather went through the Great Depression, and he told me another one would be coming because the greedy people never stop, Tom. You get up top, and it doesn't matter how much money it is. It's about leverage, making sure that there's a big gap between us and them.
No, it's not about us versus them. It's about just trying to you get caught into the fact that you're making more money and you want to make more money and you see a way to make even more money. And so, yeah, greed is definitely part of that. But it's not we versus them. Nobody's looking down at anybody behind them. They're too busy trying to climb the ladder ahead of them. I don't agree with you on that at all. But I agree with your grandfather that there's going to be more. These things come along every so often. And you have to be aware that they will happen again. So, but don't take it personal. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you're mad because you got snookered out of some money 10 years ago. But did it impact you?
I watched all the families die, Tom. There was a good amount of adults between the age of 30 and 60 years old that ended up losing jobs, losing families, losing homes, and it was a chain reaction within those families. I watched whole families collapse and die, Tom. First-hand experience. It was like the Depression, but we still had the Internet.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was devastating to a lot of people, no question about it. So, all right, Mark, thank you. I do appreciate your call. The problem with it was, and Elizabeth Warren is still jumping up and down about it, but she's a populist politician. So she's going to try to say the right thing. And she says that we need to hold Wall Street executives accountable. Well, what are you waiting for? Why don't you do it? Because people talk about the fact that nobody went to jail. And there are some people that you could look at. The Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission made 11 criminal referrals to the Department of Justice, but none of them were prosecuted. None. That was in the Obama administration. Not Eric Holder's attorney general, not one of the 11 were ever prosecuted. And the reason for it was because people like Elizabeth Warren and other lawmakers, when they looked around to find some law that these people on Wall Street violated, they couldn't find it. They took a lot of risk with their money, and it was backed up by federally insured deposits. So the government gave them the opportunity to take risks that they would never actually have to suffer. So when you look around, I'm not going to blame the government. It was these people that were running these financial institutions that did things that was stupid. But the thing about it was, they didn't violate any laws. They realized that they could get your money into their banks, you would be insured by the government, and they could take that money and do with it whatever they felt like doing. And that's what happened with the TARP program. Congress, while they were racing because the economy was collapsing and the financial system was collapsing, and so they were in a big hurry, but they didn't stop to think, maybe we should put some strings attached to the TARP funds to require that this money be used to make loans to people. They never did. So the banks never made the loans. And as a result, a lot of people lost their jobs, businesses went out of business. But it was only 10 years ago. You think about the stock market crash in 1929, and we went all the way through the 30s, a good full decade of financial misery, soup lines, businesses gone, banks gone, you name it. And that went on until World War II started, and if it wasn't for World War II, and the government pouring tons of money into the effort to win the war, I don't know how long it would have taken to get out of that. So here we are, 10 years after the Great Recession, and you look around and you go, Are things fine? How's the economy? Are you feeling better? I read the surveys, and they say consumer sentiment, consumer confidence is way up, record high levels. Everybody's confident. Unemployment rate down to numbers we haven't seen in our lifetime from any of us. Interest rate still extremely low, but they're going to be going up a little bit. So I don't know what you see out there. Do you see what the banks are fewer and bigger than they were in 2008? They control more of the nation's money. I don't know where you keep your money, but I don't know if you keep it all in one place or you diversify it around. Do you trust the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation? We had a lot of banks go out of business. There was a lot of businesses that paid out hundreds of billions of dollars in fines. But that was the shareholders of those companies paying out those fines. But none of those investment banks or mortgage lenders, not one of them went to jail because they did not violate any laws. So Congress got to work, and they put in all kinds of regulations, Dodd-Frank being one of them, and it was so expensive for banks to comply with the regulations that a lot of small community banks that are there to help small businesses, a lot of those community banks have gone out of business over the last 10 years because of the government regulations. So should they break up the big banks? Or should they at least bring back Glass-Steagall, which separated investment banking from commercial banking? I think they should. 855-295-6600. We'll be right back.
Unpredictable. Unprecedented. Undeniably. Tom Sullivan.
So, when TARP was created, this was under President Bush, and everything started collapsing while President Bush was in his last, it was September of 2008. The election was in November. Barack Obama won that, but would not become president until January. So Bush was still in from the middle of September to the middle of October, November, December, January, at 4 more months. So, guy, of all the people I've interviewed, I've interviewed some big deals. But I think the one guy that I enjoyed talking to more than anybody I've ever interviewed is a guy named Neil Barofsky. He was a federal prosecutor in what we now talk about often, the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern District of New York. Yeah, where Michael Cohen's case and all that sort of stuff. So he was a prosecutor there. He got a call from somebody in Washington, D.C., and said, would you give up your job as a federal prosecutor and come to Washington and be the inspector general to oversee these TARP funds so that they don't get misused? And he said, well, I would be honored to, but he says, you know, I am a Democrat. And I wasn't big, but I wrote a campaign check for Barack Obama. So this is the Bush administration calling, are you sure you want me? And they said, yes. So he goes to Washington. He gets there, and there's some old guy from the Republican side of the aisle calls him up and says, let's go have dinner. I want to tell you how things work. And he had dinner with the guy, and the guy says, look, here's the thing. This is Washington, D.C. You got to play ball. You play ball, and you will have a bright future. Everybody will look to you. You will be lifted up on high. Everybody will praise you. Just play along with whatever we need, okay? And he said, no, I'm supposed to be the inspector general. What are you talking about? I play it straight. So he said Barack Obama gets elected, and Timothy Geithner was chosen as the new Secretary of the Treasury. And that's who he would be reporting to. And he says, I could hardly wait for Obama to take office, Geithner to be the Secretary of the Treasury, and then everything would be straight shooting and everything else. And I said, so how did it go? And he goes, remember, I'm a Democrat. He says, it was worse. They wanted me to play all kinds of political games. He says it was worse under my own team. So I Borofsky is just a straight shooter, honest man, smart as all get out. And he basically told me how it really is in Washington. You just play along. Don't rock the boat. Mike in California. Mike, hi. Thanks for waiting. Welcome.
Hey, Tom.
Hi.
Long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you.
Great topic today.
Thank you.
So what I'm thinking is this bubble's going to burst again, and houses are worth so much more, and these mortgage companies are saying, hey, borrow your money, put that pool in. How many people went upside down?
It's hard to hear you. I don't know if you have the window down. I don't know if you're on a speaker. I don't know what you're on, but it's hard to hear you.
How's that?
Much better. There you go. Thank you.
Much better.
Yes.
Okay. So you problem there. Yeah, yeah.
You were saying about the housing. What's going on? What's your thoughts?
You know, we've got all these mortgage folks are on the radio saying, hey, you got a bunch of equity. Why don't you tap into that and build your pool?
Yep.
These people are going to go upside down when this thing goes away. It happened again.
Yes, and that was what was happening was come get a loan for anything and everything and use your house as collateral. That's what they were doing.
Oh, yeah.
I remember people calling and going,
house to bank.
Yeah, I just got offered an interest-only loan for 10 years, and I went, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it.
Exactly.
A lot of people did. You're right about the housing. The housing has, well, the prices are up only because very few people have their homes listed for sale. So with the few that are listed for sale, there's big demand and low supply, the prices go up. But a lot of people aren't selling their homes for who knows what reason. They're going to stay and fix them up instead of moving.
Yeah. Yep.
So when is this all going to blow up? What, do you have a crystal ball?
No, I don't. But I would just caution everybody, don't be tempted. Your house is worth $200,000 more now than it was 3 years ago. And how tempting is that to go get that money and put a pool in or something?
People, yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah. Is it really worth $200,000 more than a few years ago?
No.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's being artificially driven up. So if it's artificially driven up, it will come down. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know when.
I just want to caution people to think about that.
Yeah. I think it's on this 10th anniversary. I think it's worth remembering. You gotta be smart here. You can't go crazy. All right, Mike.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
You bet.
All
I appreciate
right.
appreciate your call very much. So speaking of Neil Barofsky, he said the TARP program was not perfect and it actually created animosity.
When Congress passed that bill, it was very important that it helped not just Wall Street but Main Street. So it was supposed to help restore lending to the middle class, to small businesses. It was supposed to be used to help the struggling homeowners who were being thrown out of their homes through these foreclosure crisis at a record pace. And I think that the fact that the policymakers in Washington didn't ensure and didn't pay the necessary attention to those goals, I think that's part of the real legacy of TARP. And even today, there's still so much anger surrounding these bailouts.
Yeah. Yeah. I still thought it was a mistake to do those bailouts, but we'll never know, but I'm afraid that's what will happen next time. All right, we got to get out of here. One-man comment line ban, that's all we can afford on this 10th anniversary. The Dow down 92 to 26,062. The S&P down 16. The NASDAQ down 114. The president is talking about more tariffs on Chinese goods. The price of oil, $68. The price of gold at $1,206. On the comment line, this caller thinks what she did 40 years ago might come back and haunt her.
So tell me, if I slapped a boy's face for inappropriate behavior when I was in high school, can I be prosecuted for assault 45 years later?
So you were the one. In today's world, you would, if you're running for Supreme Court, yes. And this caller thinks that politics is dirty. Just look at President Trump.
Yeah, they play dirty in politics. Trump said Obama wasn't born in the United States. No evidence. He said Ted Cruz's father had something to do with the Kennedy assassination. No evidence.
Are you sure? Yeah, it's Washington, D.C. is a swamp. That's just all we can call it. But thanks for coming by today. Take care of your money. See you back here again tomorrow.